So I'm out here, and I'm looking under the light, and I look for 20 minutes or so, and a friend comes along and says, "What are you doing, Wayne?" I say, "Well, I lost my key." "Well, here, I'll help you find it." And we look again for another 15 minutes and can't find it. Finally, he says to me, "Wayne," he said, "what? Tell me," he said, "where did you drop your key?" I said, "Well, what's that got to do with anything?" I dropped my key in the house, but the electricity's off. It's dark in there, and I'm not going to look around in the dark for my key. I came out here under the light to look for it. You mean to tell me that you dropped your key in the house, and you're looking for it out here? Yeah. And you snicker, and you realize how absurd that is, don't you? And yet, isn't that exactly what we do when we have a problem that is located inside, and we're looking for the solution out here in someone or something having to change in order for the problem to go away? See, what we have to learn to do is abandon the paradigm that other people or other things or other circumstances are responsible for our life, and instead know that we chose it. And we must learn to develop an inner candle flame that never flickers, though the worst goes before us. And that inner candle flame tells us in our logical mind that if I have a problem inside, then the solution has to be where the problem is. So I will stop looking out here for the solutions to anything that's going on in my life that isn't working, and begin to ask myself, how am I processing my world? And some of the things, you know, when I was a younger father in my 20s and early 30s, my daughter Tracy, who was born in 1967, would be with me. And there was a series of albums that came out back in the 70s by a man whom I think is a great poet, a great musician. His name is Jackson Browne. And his early songs just touched me, seemed to just touch my soul. I used to play them over and over and over again with her in the car. And, of course, she would always want to have something else playing. She used to say, you know, "Get a life," you know. I used to say back to her, "Get an afterlife," you know. It's like she didn't really want to hear any of this stuff that I'm talking about now, even though I dedicated Erroneous Zones to her and all that. It's like that was, you know, she had sort of a posture that she would assume, you know, and it was like the hip would go out and the leg would go up and down. And you know, I have six daughters, so I mean, you, you know, when you're just sort of intolerable. You know, it's like when the hip goes out, and it does, it's a genetic thing. And when this leg starts going up and down very fast, you are lost as far as reaching them. And when the head goes back and the eyes roll and it's like, and the leg goes faster, it's like, "Dad, enough with the positive stuff," you know, and it's like, which is what she used to do to me all the time. I used to say to her, "Tracy, honey, I'd like, why don't you come to where I'm speaking? I've, you know, there's people actually pay to hear me speak. You know, I can get you a seat right down front, you know. Why don't you come tomorrow night?" She'd say one word: "Why?" So this was sort of what I was dealing with, and I still do. I mean, I get nice ovations out here, but believe me, when I get home, I know my place, all right? And I used to play this one particular album. It was called Late for the Sky. And in that album, there's a song called For a Dancer by Jackson Browne. And it really sort of summarizes this first and second key to higher awareness. And he just sort of postulates that most of us are dancers. And the lyrics to that song go like this. I'm not singing after Cecilia, I promise you that. She said, he said, "Just do the steps that you've been shown by everyone you've ever known until the dance becomes your very own. But in the end, there is one dance you'll do alone." And then later on in the song he says, go on ahead and throw some seeds of your own somewhere between the time you arrive and the time you go home. And those words really are very powerful for us, because most of us are just that. Even though we don't like to admit it, we are dancers. We're not choreographers, we're dancers. We're doing the steps that we've been shown by everyone we've ever known until the dance has become our very own. But the noticer knows that in the end, there is one dance we'll do alone. But most of us are terrified of that. And so rather than leave and stop being a dancer, we just continue doing those steps. And we just sort of follow what we have been handed. And some of the things that we've been handed are that other people are responsible for our lives, that your talent is handed to you and it's dispersed in certain amounts, and there's certain things that you can do and certain things that you cannot do. We've been taught that more is better and that we should chase after things while our higher self is always saying just be peaceful. We've been taught that the petty tyrants who show up in our lives are people that we should ignore and we should hate.